Tutsi. Welcome to the Métis Voices Radio with your host, Dale Haggerty, speaking to you from the Majif Métis Museum, located in beautiful Ravenby, British Columbia, Canada, every Friday night, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And now, sit back and relax and enjoy Dale Haggerty.
Good evening and welcome to the Métis Voices Radio Show, our own internet radio program at BBS Radio every Friday evening, 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, Station 2, featuring a variety of subjects and special guests coming to you live from the Majif Métis Museum in beautiful Ravenby, B.C., Canada, with your host, Dale Haggerty. Call-in lines are now open, as well as a chat feature for your questions and comments. Here are the numbers to call. In the U.S. and Canada, toll-free 888-228-4494 and worldwide toll-free 877-489-6350. For direct lines, go to the www.bbsradio.com, BBS Station 2 on the right-hand side. And don't worry if you miss any of these call-in numbers. They are posted on the BBS Radio website. Those who wish to enter BBS Live chat rooms, please go to the homepage of BBS Radio on the column on the left, scroll down, click into How to Listen, then scroll down to Chat Live, BBS My Chat Room. Choose the drop-down menu, select the chat room chatter hall. Sign in if already registered, or register if not. And now, your host, Dale Haggerty.
Welcome, everyone, and a happy Thanksgiving. Tonight, instead of having a guest on our show, we're going to have an informed and open line night on Métis Voices Radio. Tonight,
you're delayed.
Tonight we're going to be talking about elections for everybody, just to tell everybody in internet land that Canada and the U.S., they're coming up a couple elections. And I'd like to just get out there and, you know, just tell you guys that, you know, that our ancestors fought for us to get out there and vote. And my encouragement is that, you know, that if you got a complaint, you can't do anything about it unless you vote. So my advice to everybody out there today and on election days, I know the American election's coming up. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but you just got to get out there. You want change, you have to get out and vote. Same in Canada. If we need change and you want it, you have to get out there and vote. Yes, and we also had an election in ARC, end of the things, and that was on September the 13th, and I don't know if everybody knows, we have re-elected our leader, Métis Nation in B.C. It's Bruce Dumont. Congratulations, Bruce, on your win, and let's hope now that we can move on and let's see what we can do. So, oh, and in the news here that we just found out. It's just a news thing that I think Métis Nation has got themselves a little bit of an opposition here. There's a new website out there, HTTP, Métis Nation BC Official Opposition .ning.com. So anybody that's interested, you know, you can get on that website or just give us a call. Our call lines are open, and in the U.S. and Canada, it's a toll-free 888-228-4494. And worldwide, it's also toll-free 877-489-6350. There you go. So if you got a complaint or want to just talk or chat, you know, just give us a little bit of a dingle and we'll see what we can do for you. Just in the last month and a half, I've been actually talking to a few of my people and telling them about what I've been doing. And I got some, you know, I went back to school and I'm going to learn not a new trade, but what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be going after to be an instructor. We have a lot of our old tradespeople that are getting up in the age and they can't handle the trade anymore. So, and we're talking about electricians and glaziers and carpenters and iron workers and everything. And what they're doing is they're looking for instructors to with all the skills to actually be instructors. And so, you know, you can teach your own field or you just want to go into teaching another trade, or you want to just want to relocate and do something else, you know. So if you're interested, you know, you can give me a call, or there is a department that you can go to, your local unemployment office or your Canada work office there, whatever. And this is called an older worker program, and I'm enrolled in it, and it's really good. It's the one I'm enrolled in, it's called CTAC, C-I-T-A-C, Central Interior Trades Apprenticeship Coordinators. I think that's what they call themselves. And so this is what I've been doing. I've been going to right now. I've completed two courses, and both courses they're in the Okanagan Kelowna area, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot on the weekends, but it's well worth it, and I'm really enjoying it right now. It's something to look about. You're never too old to learn, you know. And there you go. So that's what I've been doing. And you know, like I said, I'm enrolled in this, and it's an opportunity for older Métis tradesmen that need a career change. So if you're interested, just give me a call, and I'll see if I can give you some of the information, and there you go from there. Also in the news, Clearwater, where I live, just up in we call it up here in Canada, God's country up here. It's beautiful country. It's a little chilly right now, but this is the way it was. We're going to have our first Louis Riel Day celebration and an elders dinner on November the 23rd. It's because normally we would have the dinner on November the 16th. That's when it was normally celebrated. But unfortunately, I'll be in school, and so I won't be able to attend it. So we pushed it a little bit ahead. And yes, we're going to invite our local Métis elders in our area, and of course we're going to also honor our First Nation brothers, elders, and they will be honored to attend this dinner, as well as our local community elders from Clearwater, Blackpool, Vavenby, and yes, and even Birch Island. Yes, we're going to invite them down there. And of course, the dinners will be at the Elks Club in Clearwater, and I'll be giving you more information on that as well. And if anybody's interested, I think the tickets are going to be for $5 if you're interested in coming in. What else? Oh, I am later on scheduling a good friend that I met in Alberta. His name is Wally Guru. He's going to be on our future guest sometime in November. And he's going to be doing his rendition of The Trial of Louis Riel, The Unforgettable Experience. It's something, when he performs it, he's a very good likeness to Louis Riel when he was at the time of the trial, with his beard and his things, and he really looks good, and he'll be dressed up in his suit and white shirt, and of course he'll have the chain and the handcuffs, and he will be escorted by his guard to make sure that he doesn't escape. He's going to be doing that in sometime in November. We haven't just yet decided when we're going to have him on, but we're arranging it right now. And he lives in Alberta, so it's going to be quite an experience to talk to him. And of course, we're hoping that he will sing us a few tunes, because he is also a singing artist, and he's got some good tunes, and he sure can do some singing on ourselves. So, yeah, and other than that, that's what else heard in the news. Hello, we got a caller. Hello.
Yes. Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Can I have your name?
This is Derek, White Sky Cloud.
Hi, Derek. Oh. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Good. I was hoping that you would phone in, because I've heard that you are doing some pretty wonderful things.
Yeah, lately I've been doing elders healing circles for the Indian Residents of School Survivor Society. I'm one of the counselors for them here in North Vancouver. And what we're doing right now is we're working on getting programs even spread out even further across BC, right straight to Alberta and across Canada, and working on that right now. Even into your territory.
Yeah, that's good. We need that. I just met a lady last year, and she had the same she's had the same experience as my mom did, and she's my age, sort of thing. And yeah, go for it, Derek.
Yeah, so we're working on some. There are some new programs that are actually been brought up, proposals, and those are being brought to the provincial and federal government. So, in the circle itself that I do, the question that we always use, that we ask the elders, were you satisfied by the apology? Did it make you feel good, or do you feel that you're not satisfied with the apology? And the amount of circles that I've done and the amount of people that have answered me, I would say about 70 to 80% said they were not satisfied. They felt that it was more paperish than it was actually from the heart, from their own heart. And they're so used to having paper signed and forcible signatures. There was even elders that when they were children, from the age of 6 to 8 years old, signed a paper stating that they wanted to be part of the residential school, that the government itself won't pay them because they volunteered a signature on that paper. So they're being denied. And so we're trying to let the public know and the government know that there are people like that being ignored, people that actually have had their schools burnt down or the one actually been torn down. The government, the federal government is saying that these records don't exist, which they're wrong, because every church, and you know this, every church, every government-run program, even back in the early days, all have to keep records, and it has to go to Ottawa, and Ottawa keeps those records. So, because the ministers and the priests and the nuns were responsible for writing everyone's name down, registering them to be in that school. So how is it they say they don't have their names when they're actually of that school board? So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't just sign something and say, well, you don't exist. That doesn't make any sense. So Ottawa does have the signatures. They're just afraid to hand over more money that they only limited X amount of dollars, and they got to. Also, the next program that we're hoping for it to happen is that even the children, because they themselves have also suffered, the ones that never went to residential school, because I've had a lot of young ones come to the circles that stated that they went through abuse, for physical abuse, emotional abuse, varieties of it. Not knowing why until they understood that their parents and their grandparents went through residential school. So these things still happen. It's not tucked under the rug any longer, and everyone's screaming out for more help. And this also includes the Métis community, and we're also looking for a lot of our people to come out from that door, from behind the door, and saying, you know what, I am a recipient of residential school, and whether you're in there for 1 year, whether you're in for 6 months, and there was even non-native people that were also part of residential schools. So it all exists, and these people, everyone needs to stand up and confront the federal government, the provincial government, saying, look, we need to be heard. You know, yes, you talked about us for a little bit, and yes, you say you did your apology, but we're not done. We are not done.
Well, do you think, Derek, it's just the one-sided story when we come to the federal government, or do you think the provincial government are just as much involved in the cover-up, or what do you think?
I strongly feel that the provincial government is part of that cover-up because they themselves were also responsible for the registrations of the children that were part of residential school, and because they have to pass those signatures, those registrants to Ottawa, which becomes federal, and because they made it mandatory that they took your life style, your name from you, they took your identity from you, and they made it a law. I remember I listened to a lot of people, and I remember when I was a kid, I forgot all about the idea, but they used to red card you, and you had to carry a red card, and that belonged to, when you were on the res, you had to carry a red card, and if the police pulled you over or saw you, if you didn't have the red card in your hand, you spent the night in jail. So there are some things and some rules in some areas that were pretty devastating. I forgot all about this stuff because you didn't think about it until later on. And some of these, like a lot of stories are coming up. I got one lady that comes to my healing circle. One lady came to my healing circle yesterday, and she actually opened up her heart for the first time and told everyone in that circle that she committed second degree murder. And she was imprisoned for many, many years. This is an elder. Imprisoned for many, many, many years. She killed someone because of her rage of residential school. And this helped her understand what her pain was. And when she was done the circle, she felt so healed. She felt so good that she finally admitted where it come from.
Yeah.
So, jeez. You know, people are going, they're digging that deep now, Dale. They're digging really deep down in their life, in the families. There's a lot of abuse. And there's a lot of elders that's spoken to me, said to me, I don't want to hurt no one anymore. I don't want to hit any people anymore. I don't want to hit my children. And they've admitted to themselves in circles that they've had these things do take place. I got people all the way down from Manitoba, from Winnipeg, from the res up in Manitoba, from Saskatchewan, from Ontario, and they've wanted to be part of the circle just to see what this is all about. And they are saying, we need more. We need more. And now the word is out that even Klahalia in Surrey, here in BC, is now they want to be part of this. They want to do Indian Regional School Survivor Circle.
Yeah.
So it's getting out now.
Yeah.
And it needs to keep on going.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, it's tough out there. I mean, I, you know, my mom is a resident of the schools, and, you know, I'm not too sure, because the way we were living in our lives, we just don't know if we are a casualty, but we are a casualties, because, you know, there was alcoholism in our family and I remember, like I says, you know, Derek, and I keep telling you this every time I talk to you, you know, the only time I used to open up, I used to just be drunk, and my fear of talking to people were, like, I had this I don't give a damn attitude, and I'm going to tell my story, and we'd talk about always our past, but then there was always that path that we would avoid, you know what I'm saying? It was, and, you know, I joke about it today, you know, about how we used to live, and when we'd open this fridge up, you know, at home, and, you know, and I kept telling you the story about the onion god, and, but it's true, but you open the fridge up, and all we saw was one onion in that fridge, and we thought, well, is that the way we're survive, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so that's where my story of the onion gods, because I don't like onions to this day, so I keep telling that story, but it's part of my past. And was I a casualty of the residential school? Who knows? I don't know. I've never gone to a circle, so, but I'm sure hoping that if the circles come up in my area, that I am going to sure attend them to find out if, you know, they'll be able to tell me if I'm a casualty or not, you know.
Well, I'm going to be talking to, we have a big meeting coming up, an elders meeting, in the next couple of weeks. So when we have this meeting, it's going to be, any new, subjects or programs that are happening. And what I want to do, see if we can make, trips to certain areas and hold healing circles across British Columbia. And inform people what's going to happen to create something like this.
Well, that would
one
be
of my, yeah. So I would be in your territory.
Yeah. So I've heard that you're going to Victoria for a big conference. Are you?
Yeah, it's actually a workshop.
Oh, a workshop.
Yeah, this is a workshop up there that we're going to be in training to better ourselves as counselors. So it's part of the elder support coordinates. And I'm looking forward to be part of this workshop. It's going to take place in Bowen Island at the lodge.
Wow.
That'll be happening on November 4th and the 5th. We'll be there for the 2 days workshop, and it's a full day. We're going to have some really great people up there. Frank Austin, Many Horses is his name. He's from up in near Gitsan, the northern BC territory. We're going to have some other fabulous people that are involved in the program. So these are people who are doing workshops. I'll be doing a healing circle there to be on the second day. They asked me to do a healing circle there, so I'll be doing that with the people in the workshop.
Oh, that's good. So are all the counselors, are they coming from all over Britain?
We got councils coming from all across Canada. They're going to be participating in this workshop, I understand.
Wow.
I'm sure how far they're coming from, but I do know there's a few from Alberta. There's one coming from Winnipeg, or she is from Winnipeg. She could be living here now, but there are quite a few elders that are coming down, and it's a support group. I think there's 13 or 14 of us. We come up with other programs to create more motivation, more recognition of other things that are happening. I can't really speak of anything else on top of that because I need to find out what else will be happening down the road. But once it's been released to the public, it's going to be very, very good.
Yeah, there you go. You were in Saskatoon, though, didn't you? Go for a workshop out there. How was that, Derek?
I was there for 3 days. Yeah, I was there about a month ago up in Regina. I was on the reservation, and I forgot which res it was now. I'm sorry, I apologize. I was in Regina, and there's about 12 or 14 teepees. There was five to six sweat lodges there. It was a healing weekend. We were there for 3 days, myself, Fred, and Thais, who is a metal lady. Three of us were up there, sent up there to observe, to watch their work and see what we would understand, what we would see that we can bring back with us that would help promote the program. And or to see, just to witness what we see. There is a lot of things that I saw was interesting. Then some things I really would not want to mention on radio. But you know, you agree to disagree in some areas. But I mean, everybody has a traditional way as they follow through. But other than that, it's still healing. That's why I always find it's important.
That's good. So listen,
yeah.
I just saw this advertised on the Aboriginal network there that they're finally wanting our First Nation, Métis, Inuit, Aboriginal people to get out and vote. What do you think of that, Derek?
To get out and vote?
Yes.
To vote for who?
Well, the problem is that's what everybody's always concerned about, but the idea is, you know, there's a lot of Aboriginal issues out there today, and, you know, we don't know who to vote for, but the idea is that if you feel, you know, that this is the way I feel, you know, that I have some Aboriginal issues, and I'm going to go and vote for my person who I feel that was listed. You know what I'm saying, and he's going to take my issues forward, and I think this is what he's trying to get our First Nation leaders there.
Yeah, there should be another political, I guess you'd say, you know, you got your NDP, you got your Conservative, you got your Green. There should be a national Aboriginal Indigenous program or a political. I mean, sure, yes, we do have an Indigenous or a national Aboriginal representative.
Political.
But
yeah.
We need one in the office, not someone who's on the outside. We need someone on the inside or two or three in the inside, as part of the cabinet that represents the First Nations or all Indigenous people. We don't have that. We have mostly non-Native people in a cabinet. Yes, we have them locally here in British Columbia, but we don't have them. Like, yeah, we have Penny Pretty. We've got, what was her name? I can't remember her name, but we've got two Aboriginal people on council here in B.C., of the B.C. area, but we don't have what you call, for example, a national Aboriginal Indigenous officer of a province. We should have one for every province.
I agree with that. But, you know, we do have some Aboriginal people that are in on the cabinets and in the that are already elected officials. They have a small majority of their votes. And their voices and stuff like that. But I still believe, even though that, you know, we don't have Aboriginal a political party yet, I believe that I'm trying to encourage all my Aboriginal friends to go out and vote, because that way it gives you a sense of wanting, it gives you a sense that you have expressed what's bothering you, and you know, this talking about, you know, do you want change and they're not going to help you and you don't vote, you know, that sounds like a cop-out to me. You know, if you want to be helped, I believe, you know, out and vote. And I'm not trying to encourage anybody to vote for any particular party. Everybody is different. This is why Canada is so rich in culture. We got different views, you know, and I believe that. Go out and vote. That's what I'm trying to encourage everybody on this radio program to listen to us tonight.
Yeah. You know, you got one thing out there. A lot of people in some parts of northern British Columbia don't even know about politics, and a lot of them are actually out of the mainstream. They don't even have televisions on some reservations. A lot of them are out of the way. They're so still in the stumps. And so it is difficult in some areas, but a lot of people, you know, again, like I said before, it's the residential school stuff that a lot of them don't want to vote, because who would they believe in? Who would they pick? You know, it's that pain is still there for them. And if they are still wanting to, unless a lot of them actually have gone through it and said, well, you know what, I'll try this person or I'll try that person. myself, I really don't know who to believe in. This coming election, even though Harper was part of the effect, regarding the residential school apology, but these guys right now, these three politicians are actually becoming a little dirty pool with each other, and they're trying to find every dirty thing that each one said or had not said. And, you know, again, if you really come from the heart, if you really want to be a politician, if you want to be involved with the public, you're going to have to come from the heart and tell the way it should be said out of your own mouth, not somebody else telling you what you have to say.
Yeah. Well, Derek, I just had an experience just up here in Clearwater. We had one of the candidates that's running up in my area, and I had a conversation with him, and I expressed my views. I said to him about, you know, that 80% of the prisoners in the prison system are Aboriginal people. What are we doing? You know, it's easy to lock people up, but instead of, why don't you try to get social programs for them to stop? And I'm talking about, you know, youth. You know, we talk about the drugs and the gangs and the stuff, but there's no social programs going on to prevent these people from entering the prison system. You know, they have no education. They're not with what's going on. And, you know, and now today, they see that mighty dollar, and the first thing you know, they're into the drugs, and then they're into jail. You know, but you know, the part what I'm getting at here is, I talked to them about a lot of issues about Aboriginal stuff. And one of the leaders on this one debate that I was listening to, and I'm not going to mention any leaders, but anybody else can think of whatever, he was the only person that actually stressed on Aboriginal issues. So obviously, it looked like my candidate from my area must have been in contact with the leader, because
well,
he was exactly saying exactly what I was saying to my politician in my area. So I'm thinking maybe, hey, they are listening to us, and we just don't realize it.
Well, the thing is, a lot of politicians, if they're in a native territory and a lot of reservations in those areas, they really go to the heart to get the word out, to help, to get the vote. There was only one politician that I would say, when we watched the apology, that really put his heart and soul into what he felt was important to be listened to, and that was Jack Layton, when he actually expressed his feelings in the cabinet. There was tears rolling down his eyes. That's what how it affected a lot of people. When they see tears rolling down your eyes that you're sincere, then they know you come from the heart. Doesn't mean everybody has to get up all at once and start crying. But Jack Layton himself, he stated that he was truthfully sorry, because he has friends that were First Nations, and he's known them for many, many years. And so he knows that he's trying everything he can to help. But you can't just stick to one subject and figure that you're the best politician in the world. You have to be focusing on every subject, anything that's needed to be known. Right now here in BC, we are so messed up. Premier Campbell is destroying a lot of land just for the freaking Olympics. And they're destroying fisheries areas here, and a lot of people are angry. And he wants to put in, he wants to rebuild all these bridges before 2010 and make them all into toll booths. So basically it's like he's looking for that merit badge on his chest. He doesn't care who he hurts. And I talked to a lot of First Nations people, and some people told me that, you know, he's not that nice of a guy when he's, like, it's just for him. He doesn't care who he hurts. And anybody tries to take him to like, just basically say, we don't want to talk to you about what you're doing, he doesn't want to hear it. You know, so it's sad to hear that we have people like that, that just don't want to hear us out. But the thing is, we just got to keep on going.
Yeah. But you know what, Derek? You know, that's what I mean. You know, this is an example. You know, you have an issue with a government, and you need to change. There's only one way to get them changed. You know, maybe the other politicians might do exactly the same thing, but what you do is you get them out. Oh, but how do you do that? You go out and vote. And that's the way, you know, I'm going to give you an example. We have, just in our own political body of the Métis Nation in BC, I heard some very disturbing things. Even in Alberta, the Métis Nation, they have a 30,000 membership, and 3,000 people went out to vote. But then when you go to Alberta and they're complaining that the leaders doing this and the leader's doing that and he's not doing this or he's not doing that, and you look at it and you go, well, did you vote? And they say, no. Well, you know, what does that say? You can't say anything about stuff like that. You know, they're supposed to be 59,000 Métis in British Columbia.
Yeah.
and how many voted. You know, I don't even think they got 1,000 votes. If I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. That's that, and they're the leaders now, and they represent me. You know, so I don't believe, you know, that, you know, 59,000.
I think also too, Dale, that when people are angry with a politician or the group of politicians, and what the elders do a lot, they don't even want to talk to them, so they basically walk away and ignore them. And even though they may complain about the act of how these politicians are, if they did something wrong or whatever have you, if they don't agree with them, their main belief system is saying, oh, well, we'll just forget about it, we'll walk away and we'll think about it. And we won't get involved with him, we'll wait until it goes away. And the thing is that's a big mistake. If you walk away, that's an old belief system that we use from the residential school, just walk away and ignore it. Because you're trying to hide from something that you haven't. People need to step up to the front of the up front and say, "I got to say something," and they got to talk. And it's important to step up to the plate and do something.
Well, I think they've come out here in British Columbia now with an official opposition, according to the information that was. Email to me. It's called Métis Nation BC Official Opposition. Have you heard of it?
No.
Oh, it's on the Ning site, Ning. So I'm gonna get you to look at it, and but I think, you know, what can I say,
yeah,
eh?
You're in trouble.
Anyway, it's the difference, right? So, if we can't have fun, we're going to have fun anyways.
I got to tell you something. I will let everybody else know out there, too, if they want to hear this.
I
actually forwarded an email over someone that dealt with that actually worked for MNBC, and all I did was forward an email of that person. I won't name names.
Okay.
And next thing you know, I get an email back. How dare you? How dare you do this to defame this person? I went, excuse me? All I did was forward the freaking email. I never even looked at half of it. And next thing you know,
okay,
I'm the troublemaker. They put my name on the website because of White Sky Cloud. Look what he done. This person has to leave now. I'm like, I didn't do anything. I just forwarded it. You know?
But
they're
Derek, there's no saying, if they're not talking about you, you better be looking over your back shoulders.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So listen, Derek, getting away from all that you were having in the last 2.5 months, are they, you guys having a Louis Riel Day celebration down there on the Lower Mainland?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in this area, because right now a lot of people are in, I guess my understanding, a lot of people are in what's called the silent. No one's talking. I don't know why I'm not being called anyways. But I've been so focused on the IRS.
You shouldn't be emailing those emails then, you know. Don't hit that forward button, Eric.
Yeah, don't forward them and get me in trouble. I don't know of when or where, if they're going to hold one. I remember Métis Family Services used to hold Louis Riel Day in November, and we used to have dances. Remember, you yourself are part of it, and we used to hold elders dinner.
Sorry, Derek.
Yeah,
they haven't had a dinner, but, you know, maybe that might be an idea that you might go down there and if you can get it organized again.
Yeah, we should, because we haven't done it for a while. Like I said, I've been out of the loop. I've been busy doing this programming and traveling a lot. But that's part of, basically, I've been focusing on what's on the interior. Coming from the heart, working with our people, with our Métis people, because it's really important that, you know, this needs to be out there. And let people know that we're not just being left behind. And I felt it was in my heart, it was important. I wanted to thank the Indian Medicine School Survivor Society for welcoming me in as a member, as a Métis member with the group. We all work together equal. No one's ever above anyone. And I've been having a lot of fun working with everyone at the Vancouver Friendship Center. And I'm looking forward to hearing that knowing Klahowee will call us and we'll put more programs on, help support them as well. There's a real need for it.
Yeah. Derek, we're talking about it right now. What is your goal? What do you want to see happen to this residential school? I know you. You're my friend, and you, everything that you say comes from your heart. So, give me some idea what do you want people to know what's going on?
What I want to see, I want to see that even the children get some sort of compensation of the recipients of the residential schools. That never did. I mean, they themselves did not go to residential school, but I want to see the children get compensated, because there are a lot of elders out there that never got compensated at all. They passed away, and I feel that there should be a financial, basically saying, even though they never applied, because they never existed until a certain year it was applied to, but even earlier before, that family should be compensated by some means. Just to say, we thought about this person. Yes, we want to share this with you. Yes, we agree they should be taken care of. I feel that this compensation should help the family. Also, there should be also, there is actually a letter of apology that was made by the federal government, and I feel these apology letters should be mailed to everyone that actually was part of the residential school, so they can either hang it on their wall or whatever have you, to let you know, to remind them that it really did happen and that it actually came from the federal government. In fact, it's basically called the Statement of Apology to Former Students of Indian Residential Schools, and it was signed on behalf of the Government of Canada, the Right Honorable Stephen Harper, Prime Minister of Canada. I've got actually the apology. It's on a piece of cardboard with their emblem, their logo of the parliamentary thing here. So, and it's nicely done. But it lets people know that it was done. And September 19th, 2007, the agreement was made. Yeah. Over 80,000 living former students. They are saying 80,000. I know there's over 150,000. They're not counting the ones that had died previously before.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the ones that were living. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, just three of my aunts and my uncle were probably part of that system, too. And, they took it all to their graves, except for I got an uncle that I'll never, ever see. You know, my mom has never seen her brother, since the day that they took him away. You know, that.
Yeah.
What do you call that? You know.
Kidnapping.
You know, I guess if there was anything in my mom's life that she would not only want, but she probably would like to see her brother for the first time or in 60 years, 65 years, I think that's what she would like to see before she, goes on, when the Creator is asking for her, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see her brother, you know. Her and my uncle are the last of the survivors of our Villeneuve family, so.
Does she know where her brother lives?
Yeah, he lives in Ontario somewhere, and I guess there was always a financial burden, you know. My mom was never a very wealthy woman, she worked for a living. She had six kids, and I was part of that, and I know, and a failed marriage, and, kids were going left and right, early marriages, and, you know.
How old's your mom?
Mom's going to be, well, she's 87 now, and she's, her birthday's coming up in February, you know, so she'll be 88.
Wow.
And the good thing about my mom, she still got her wits about herself. She's a complainer, but she still got her wits about
her. Mom. That's a mom,
yeah. Yeah, she's getting even. She's getting even for all the stuff for what we us kids did. So.
You end up being the babysitter.
Yeah. So Derek, I don't know if you heard. I'm going to get, you had the privilege of meeting Wally. Remember Wally in Alberta?
Yeah.
He was the one that, he did Louis Riel, the Louis Riel trial.
Oh, yeah. He's the one that carried that ball and chain.
That's right. I'm going to try to get him on the show sometime in November and, I have a week off in November from going to school, and I'm going to try to arrange for him to come on the air. And if it happens to be on the 23rd, or not the 23rd, but I think it would be on the 21st of November, I'm still going to get him to do that in honor of our faithful leader of Louis Riel. So, I'm gonna have him do the whole 50-minute trial. So I advise everybody out there if they're gonna be listening to this program to get themselves a box of Kleenex.
A box of chocolates or a box of that.
No, not chocolates. Oh, Kleenex.
No,
Kleenex.
He makes your heart pound so hard. I swear to God, the fear of Louis Riel stepped inside of his body.
Yes. You know, I experienced something for the first time that I had my son with me, Christopher, and Chris was sitting beside me, and he's a young youth, you know, and he doesn't know too much about the Métis history outside of what his dad does, and he's getting the gist of it really quick. But I've never seen a youth react the way he did, and the comments that he made, and he says, you know, they shouldn't have done what they did to him, Dad, you know, and I said, well, that's the way they did things in them days, you know, they hang you and then find you not guilty, you know, so. And by the way, that it'll be fitting if on that day it was a conservative government that actually hung him. So everybody that's out there that votes conservative, think about what they did for our faithful leader.
Do you have somebody else phoning in?
I don't know. Is there somebody on the other line? Hello, is there anybody on the other line? No, I guess not.
Oh, he may have hung up.
Oh, maybe he did. I'm sorry. Maybe I was just yapping too much, you know.
Dale, did you know that there, before Louis Riel was the freedom fighter for the Métis, there was actually two men by the name of Joseph Brossard and Joe LaBeouf from the Membercook, Moncton, the Bend region of the New Brunswick, who were also the very first Métis Indian freedom fighters to be arrested for treason 100 years before Louis Riel suffered the same fate.
Wow.
Yeah. Those
Dale
two men, they
gave me the three fingers, meaning there's three minutes left to say. Well, Derek, actually, it's been really a nice time to talk to you again.
I didn't expect to be on this long.
I'm glad you came on and talked. I'm starting to run out of things to say. Actually, you know, I can talk and talk and talk. I just Don't give me a mic. Remember, we used to say this.
Yes, true.
Well, anyways, I'd like to really thank you, Derek, for coming on. And, folks, it's time that we're coming to a close. And thank you very much for listening to our Métis Voices radio program. We really enjoyed it with our visit with Derek and with all of you. I would also like to thank you, the sponsors, the directors, Don and Seth, and the gang, as well as the sponsors of the BBS radio station for allowing us to present this program to you each week. Be sure to give us your feedback about our Métis Voices radio show on the BBS radio website. On the main page, check it out. Our website, we also have two websites you can also make some comments on. The www.machifmetimuseum.org and http://machifmetimuseum.ning.com. Next week, Friday, October the 17th, we look forward to having as our guest one of our good friends and Métis brothers, artist and entrepreneur, spiritualist and community worker. Hey, Derek, we're going to have you on next week. Be sure to listen to you.
Yeah, I'm back on there again.
And at the time, most very interesting visit with you. Please tune in next week, same time, starting 7:55 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Have a good Thanksgiving weekend, everyone, with all the trimming and the family and friends. I know we will drive carefully. Take care next week, Marseille.
Marseille.